Good afternoon. I'll start with an assessment of our last performance, like I always do. I thought I kept it pretty straightforward after the game in terms of identifying the reasons why we were unsuccessful. The turnover margin had a lot to do with it. I may have simplified the outcome of the game in that regard, but that's a line that's been very bright for us as a team this year. We're 0-5 when we lose the turnover battle in football games. So conversely, we're 9-1 when we win or tie in the turnover ratio. So that's been a very bright line for us. We know it is something we're very cognizant of. That's why we got to do a great job of taking care of the football and work extremely hard to get the ball. And when we didn't do those things in that game, that created a climate that's similar to some other games that we've lost this year. But that wasn't the only element of the game that created the outcome or the negative performance. On defense, I thought we didn't win enough of the third downs. I think there were 50% or 9-18 on third downs. That allowed them to shorten the game for our offense and highlight those turnovers. It reduced the number of possessions in the game. And when we don't get off the field quickly on defense, I think the time of possession may have been 10 minutes or so in their favor. And obviously, that makes the margin for error much smaller. You know, there are reasons why we weren't able to win our share of third downs. I thought it was a combination of things. I thought they had a solid run game throughout. I thought that created manageable third downs. But I also thought there were some critical instances where we had them in second and long where we played poorly. We lost a 2nd-and-23 on a significant drive in the second half and gave up a deep ball. I thought there were other 2nd-and-longs that maybe not have moved the chains but created manageable third downs. There was a 2nd-and-20 that ended up 3rd-and-5. I think there was a 2nd-and-19 that ended up maybe 3rd-and-2. When you get people behind the chains, we got to work hard to keep them behind the chains. That'll allow us to get off the field. That'll quickly get the ball back to our offense so that we can maintain a personality that we like. I thought that inability to get off the ball, get off the field on third downs was a critical element in the game. And conversely, we weren't doing enough things offensively on third downs to combat it. I think we are 2-of-8. The 8 number signifies a lack of possession, but obviously we need to convert more than 2 of those. I thought that our inability to win the 4th-and-1 at the early stages and their ability to combat that and go the length of the field and score created a climate that was conducive to them. We got to come out faster. We got to, you know, win those possession downs at the significant portions of the game, offensively and defensively. But all of that being said, we weren't playing the type of ball that we desire to play, but I still thought we had the football and an opportunity to win at the latter stages of the game, and we didn't deliver in those areas. So we got a lot to analyze and a lot to reflect on. And not a lot of time to do it. Our next challenge is in front of us, and we came and watched the video yesterday. Obviously, not a pleasant viewing, but it shouldn't be. But we do it. We do it with the sole purpose of increasing our chances of winning as we move forward into this week. And our ills from last week got to be rectified in a hurry. We're going into a similar environment this week against the Cleveland Browns. I'm sure we'll face a team with similar intentions, but their intentions are secondary, really, to us. It's our ability to digest what's transpired, to get rightly focused, to have a good week's preparation, and ultimately go into an environment and play the type of ball we're capable of playing. That's where our energies are going to be. Our attitude regarding our circumstances, I think, is a hopeful one. I believe that that's the only approach that's conducive or helpful in terms of us doing what it is we need to do this week. So we're going to remain hopeful, but we also realize that when things are out of your control, they're just that. In a lot of ways, they're out of your control. We're going to work to be focused on the things that are within our control. There's a scenario that has to transpire in order for us to get in the dance. But the front part of that scenario is us winning. So that's where our focus is going to be. From a health standpoint, we put Rosie Nix on IR yesterday. He has a fracture in his foot on his 5th metatarsal. He's got surgery coming a little later this week. Got a couple of guys nursing some injuries in game and prior to the game that continue to be issues for them. Antoine Blake with his back and Mike Mitchell with his shoulder. The rest of the management and injuries are probably be maintenance things that are routine for us. As we get ready, we'll watch and monitor some of those veteran players like we always do at the early portions of the week. Now, when we look specifically at Cleveland and some of the things going on with them and some of the things that we need to be concerned about as we prepare, I'll start on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, Johnny Manziel has continued to play quarterback for him. I think he ran for 100 yards or so last week. His ability to extend plays and create as plays break down is an area of the game that we need to focus on. We have to put pressure on him. I didn't think we put enough consistent pressure on Mallett a week ago. We got to do that, but it doesn't necessarily mean blitzing. We got to be able to rush and rush with four. I thought our four-man rush was not up to snuff last week. We're going to work hard at making sure that it is. This week, it's an element of the package that needs to continue to develop, particularly when you're facing a guy that has the type of mobility and the ability to create like Johnny Manziel has. We got to rush hard and we got to rush smart. We got to minimize vertical holes in terms of the escape lanes. We'll work hard and spend a lot of time working at that this week. I'd imagine that Michael Vick is going to be extremely critical element of preparation for us in terms of the looks that he's providing us in that area. They got a tight end, obviously, that's doing some really good things, closing in on 1,000 yards, but we can't focus our efforts solely on him. Travis Benjamin is closing in on 1,000 yards as well. He's a speed guy, that's capable of taking the top off of the coverage. I think they're really finding a rhythm with the guys that are utilizing that running back, Crowell and Duke Johnson. They're complementing each other well. Crowell does some of the heavy lifting, the downhill running, if you will. Duke Johnson is a guy that's capable of bouncing to the perimeter and screens and draws. I think he has over 50 catches and 500 yards in the passing game. They do a nice job with their screen game to minimize your pressure packages and to slow your pressure packages down, particularly on second and long and third down. We got to be great versus the screens. Defensively, like last time, they got some veteran players, some established players at all levels, guys like Dansby, guys like Whitner. They do a great job in their sub packages, giving you a variety of looks, whether it's pressure or coverage. We got to be great at diagnosing that and recognizing that. A helpful element of combating that is being on schedule, not being any third and longs. I thought that was a detriment to our efforts a week ago. We had several third and long instances. We had a third and long, third and 12 that I think went to third and 17 because of a pre-snap penalty. We had another instance in the game where we had third and 11. It went to third and 16 because of a pre-snap penalty. 10 and 11 or 12 is bad enough, but pre-snap penalties are not going to obviously help you convert those down in distances. We got to work in a hostile environment. We got to work on a silent count. We got to be better than we were a week ago in those instances, particularly in terms of the pre-snap penalties. We can't make a bad problem a worse problem by losing 5 yards prior to a third and long like situation. But again, like I said, it's less about the nameless gray faces that we play this week that happen to be the Cleveland Browns. It's more about us getting rightly focused and getting back on track. Getting that stench off of our last performance off of us and bouncing back the way that championship caliber groups do. We're going to be measured in a big way in our ability to do that in the face of the adversity or the uncertainty in terms of our playoff position. Like I said, all of that needs to be irrelevant for us. We're going to work hard to make sure that it is and focus on the things that are critical for us that are within our control. And that's ultimately our play on Sunday in Cleveland. We're going to get excited about that. We need to have a great day tomorrow. We're preparing for it as a staff today. I'll be happy to address any questions you might have.
Mike, the limited possessions that you referred to, like in the Baltimore game, does that affect the play calling and what you feel you need to do offensively because you know you're not going to have the ball maybe as much?
It does as time becomes a factor. It does probably in the second half of games more so than it does in the first half of games. And really that's you know, that's controlled by your ability or inability to get off the field on defense on third down. And that was an element of the game as time became a factor in the game for us.
Mike, you were obviously able to run the ball very effectively early on. Is there any thought that because you ran the ball so effectively that Ben and the passing game weren't able to get into rhythm?
There's a potential for that. I think there's always a potential for that when you don't find the type of rhythm that you need, and particularly at the latter stages of the game to win. Like I mentioned, we had, you know, the ball and time, and we didn't deliver, and we've gotten quite comfortable in terms of delivering in those instances. That's a potential element of it. But more than anything, I thought that we ran out of time. We ran out of time because we turned the ball over and lost a couple possessions, and our inability to get off the field consistently on defense created an environment where time was a big-time factor in the second half of the game.
One of the things Jimmy Smith said after the game is they really want to focus on AB and take him out of the game. We saw that in Seattle. The passing game was still incredibly effective. Marcus Wheaton had a big game. Were there things that the offense missed on the field that were available, or was it what the Ravens did defensively?
You know, taking nothing away from them, man, they had a great plan and they executed it, but I think that's the plan just about every week, I think, from our opponent, to work to minimize Antonio Brown's impact on the game. You mentioned two instances where, you know, it was rather effective directly in terms of him, but two different outcomes in terms of what we're able to do offensively. And I think largely that has to be the case when people work hard schematically to minimize Antonio's impact on the game. Others have got to deliver. And wasn't enough of that in Baltimore on Sunday.
Mike, you've often said that you're not concerned about what other people do. You think offensively you can do whatever it is you do and do it against anybody. By giving, if you will, quote, giving you the run, did they end up dictating to you what you did offensively and make you get not off rhythm but off track in terms of what you want to do offensively?
No, I don't believe so. I think it was our intentions to come into the game and to run the football. I thought we ran the football effectively on them the first time we played them. So we were comfortable with our ability to move the ball via the run. Whether or not they gave it to us was a moot point. Obviously, schematically, that was the approach in terms of doing it, but it didn't change how we chose to attack them.
Mike, at the outset, you mentioned the lack of effectiveness from your four-man rush, and you want to create this week a four-man rush without having to blitz too much. But should you have blitzed more last week against Mallett if that four-man rush was ineffective?
You know, I think in hindsight, because of the outcome of the game, I think you look back and you have those questions. It wasn't good enough, and it needs to be good enough. Yes, we put a potentially blitz more, but blitzing in itself isn't always the answer. We've got to be a group that's capable of blitzing effectively. We also got to be a group that's capable of rushing the passer with four men effectively. I think defenses that are good have the ability to do both, and we're striving to win football games, but we're also striving to be a good defense, and so we're going to continue to work at both.
I understand y'all were losing, possessions were scarce, but how much was going away from the run in the second half a product of bad kicking into no huddle?
You know, like we talked about, our inability to get off on third down affected some of that, and the turnover, I thought, in the second half affected some of that in terms of our play selection. In hindsight, you know, you like to do some of that stuff over, but you don't get that opportunity in this business.
Ben very frankly said that he felt off all day Sunday. Are there things that the rest of the offense can do to sort of mask that or help him, or is that too simplistic?
You know, this is the ultimate team game. I think that we call on all our 11 men to be positive contributors to our efforts week in and week out. Individual performances are just that, but they happen within the confines of a group performance. So, yes, is the answer to your question, and detail and execution and everything that we do, whether it's run or pass.
Mike, is your lack of blitzing, or at least on Sunday, formed partially out of concern about putting your corners, especially on an island, in single coverage?
You know, that's just how we chose to attack on Sunday. And we put together plans that we feel allow us an opportunity to give us the best chance to win. It didn't work out effectively for us on last Sunday. We'll work hard this week to make sure that it does.
Your players said last week that records go out the window when it's an AFC North opponent, that those games are harder. Are you satisfied that that's how they approached it and that's how they walked out on the field Sunday?
I am.
Mike, you mentioned the second and 23 play where they hit Givens down the left side. Was that play, was Clayton Gase sitting a route there and doing something that he shouldn't do, or was that quarters coverage? How did that happen?
I'll let him address that. I think that's appropriate. Suffice it to say, we got to do a great job or a better job of keeping those guys in front of us.
Mike, what are some of the factors or reasons that have led to the inconsistency on defense?
You know, I didn't think we created enough pressure on the quarterback. I think that pressure creates an environment that produces splash for us, whether it's negative plays for the offense or turnovers. Wasn't enough negativity for them. They had some plays that maybe weren't efficient for them, but wasn't enough negativity for them. And I think that created a climate where we weren't doing the things that we desired to do.
Is that the way they blocked, or is that what you were doing?
You know, I'm sure if you ask them, it was the way they blocked. You know, if you ask us, it's the way that we performed, because as professionals, you know, you take ownership over what you do. Thought we could have performed better.
Harrison said afterwards he thought the defense came out flat early. Did you get a sense of that? And if so, why was that the case given the stakes of the game and the situation?
You know, that's his opinion. I'm not going to piggyback or comment regarding that. I don't know what context it was made in. You know, I thought it was a critical element of the game when we went for it on 4th-and-1 and were unsuccessful, and they were able to put together a drive and get 7 points on the board. I acknowledged that at the onset of the press conference. I thought it created an environment where it gave them life and created a more hostile environment than it already was.
What did they do to take away Martavis Bryant, and did he have to work harder to get open?
You know, they did what they do. They worked to minimize AB, and they were sound versus everyone else. We didn't make enough collective plays around that mix, and Martavis is included in that.
Mike, when you have a guy like Ryan Mallett who's been with the team for 12 days, I don't know how much of the playbook he absorbed in that point in time, but does that mean that it would seem, you know, he has 26 plays in the first two drives. It would seem from a defensive posture that you would want to play aggressively against that. But you talked on Tuesday prior, talked about his big arm and the shots down the field. Was that the concern, that he might go deep on you?
No, we just chose to play football the way we chose to play football, and it didn't obviously work out in a positive manner for us. We got a lot of respect for him, as we indicated, and his ability to stretch the field. But largely, week in and week out, we're trying to play to our personality to create an environment where we can operate and play winning football within the confines of what it is we're working with, and it's less about who we play and some of the characteristics of what they do. And that was the case the week ago. So when I talk about us not doing the things that we desire to do to create the environment that we desire to create, it's about us and less about him or their attack or plan of attack or what they were able to do.
Mike, you talked about their ability to run the ball. How much of that was attributable to being in a lot of nickel, which takes the nose tackle out, and only have two down linemen in that circumstance?
Well, you know, people run out of sub package each and every week. It's our ability, it's our job to stop the run, whether they do it in sub or in base, and there's really nothing unique or noteworthy about that. We didn't do a good enough job of minimizing the run in the football game.
You said the other day, you know that you can beat anybody. Does that make this almost more uncomfortable, that you know if you could get in the dance, you could make a lot of noise?
You know, I'm not looking for comfort. I'm just trying to meet the challenges that each week holds. We're not a group that lacks confidence. We're a group that believes in what we're capable of. Obviously, we have to deliver the goods. We didn't do it a week ago. We're excited about preparing and ultimately, hopefully, doing it this week.
Do you still, when you look at this team, do you feel like if we could go dancing, we could do something really great?
You know, we just focus on this week's challenge. Nothing has changed in that regard. I come before you guys on a week-in and week-out basis and say similar things, not in an effort to do so, but just because we mean it. It's a week-to-week league. It has to be. Anybody that's been in it for any length of time understands that. I think you're setting yourself up for failure if you view it any other way. So we're focused on our preparation for Cleveland.
Mike, with the other game meaning as much as yours that's going on in Buffalo, would you want your players to see the results as it's going on simultaneously, or tell them,
you know,
not to watch? Or
I don't care. I'd imagine if the Jets are winning the game, it's going to be up quite a bit because we'll be in Cleveland Stadium. That's really irrelevant in terms of what we need to do in terms of performing in the stadium. So it's part of life at this level. I'd imagine that there's going to be information regarding the game, but that information has no bearing on how or what it is we need to do in terms of our play. I'm not overly concerned about that element of it.
Do you have any sort of a relationship with Rex Ryan?
Oh, certainly. Rex is a guy that I consider a friend and obviously a coach that I have a great deal of respect for, but I won't be calling him or anything of that nature this week if that's your next question.
Mike, I used the word challenges a couple of times a few moments ago. One of the challenges repeatedly has been of late for this team is beating teams with a significantly lesser record than yours. Why has that been such a challenge over the years for you guys to beat teams against whom you're favored heavily?
You know, I hadn't, you know, looked at that largely over years. You know, really, I'm in the midst of this 2015 season, and, you know, obviously it was an issue for us a week ago, and so I'm analyzing that in preparation for this week. Painting with a broad brush and looking over the course of an extended period of time and things of that nature, that's stuff that you do in the offseason, so we'll do it at that time.
Mike, time of possession, how indicative is that of success? Is that a stat you're looking to win each week?
I think coupled with the turnover ratio, I think it creates a climate for the game to unfold in the manner in which it did. But largely, it's not that significant of a stat by itself.
Like, what did Shamarco do in practice this week to get himself at least a couple times on the field in your sub-package defense?
You know, he's a guy that, you know, does a few things well on first and 10, particularly in the run game. We wanted to highlight that and utilize that. We're always looking to be inclusive in terms of the number of guys that we can utilize in our defense, particularly as the season wears on. And that's just the latest example of it. We've infused Brandon Boykin into the mix more so over the second half of the year. We've infused, Robert Golden into some defensive packages more over the second half of the year. I think that's what you do this time of year. It provides something fresh. It provides an opportunity for someone. It provides a look that maybe is not on video. All of those things, I think, is reasons why you include new people and new schematic approaches as you play at this time of year.
I'd expect a similar special teams role for LJ Fort, as Rosie Nix had.
You know, I'm not certain that he's going to have a helmet this week. He's assumed his place on the 53. We'll go through the week and look at practice and determine who gets a game day hat and who doesn't.
Replay is not supposed to overturn calls unless they're obvious. It's been that way since the beginning. Was it obvious to you that should have been overturned, the Antonio Brown catch?
Not to me, but, that's not my judgment.
And does it go to the league? Is it up to their judgment, or is every call now reviewed in the league office?
It's reviewed in central command.
Correct.
There's a couple of occasions that you've been here that you needed to win and get some help. It didn't happen either. Do you view that as bad luck, or do you put yourself in a situation like that if those things happen?
You know, I think that's when you put yourself in that situation, you're subject to those outcomes. I think, you know, largely, I like the way that our groups have responded when in those situations we've done what it is that we needed to do. And that is our challenge this week. That's what's in our control. So that's where we're going to spend our time and energy.
Mike, Keith Butler talked about Ryan Shazier being more involved in the defensive calls, being a vocal guy out there. Can you talk about his development and his football IQ?
He's a sharp young guy, but he's just that, a young guy. He's very much in development from a understanding or nuances of the game, particularly when it comes to being a hub of communication that's associated with his position. He's missed some time due to injury that's been, hadn't been beneficial to that growth and development, but largely day in and day out, I like his approach to getting better, his attitude in which he works, and largely we're excited about the trajectory of his development, not only as a player, but as a guy who acts as a hub of communication for a defense.
In that type of situation, do you have to be more careful with having him involved in the passing game and the coverage side of things? Is he more of an attack the line of scrimmage type of guy until he figures all that out?
No, it doesn't inhibit us in any way.
And final for Coach?
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mike.